So nice to see you again. It seems like, I mean, we took a month off, but it seems like a whole year. I don't know how that happens, you know, where you can, time can be so short and so long at the same time. I don't know. And I don't know how your lives are going. I hope they're doing well. I'm sure you have trials. I'm sure you have struggles. But we have to remember that God is for us. And I think the Lord wants just to remind you that if He has given you a promise, don't give up on that. Even if it's been a week, a month, 3 months, a year, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, that promise that He gave you, He will fulfill. Don't give up and don't forget about it. I had recently forgotten about a promise. I mean, totally, when you really forget, you totally forget, you don't remember at all. Sometimes we think we forget, but we really remember, but then we forget. But when you just don't remember, you've truly forgotten. You can write all that down. Anyway, there was a promise that I had forgotten. Very sadly, I had forgotten it because things look like they were just not going to live up to that promise at all. And it's been almost 20 years. And in prayer, just about 2 weeks ago, as I was praying for a situation, the Lord brought that promise, that verse, back to my mind. And it kind of startled me a little bit because I had forgotten. And I just said, thank you. Thank you. I don't know how you're going to do this because it doesn't look like that promise can be fulfilled at all, but I'm going to cling to it. So if you're in that place too, just remember that promise and remember that He will fulfill it. Might be another 10 or 20 years for me, but I know that He will, or He would not have reminded me of it. So if you've lost hope, remember that the Lord has His promises, and His promises are faithful and true. A couple of announcements before we get into the lesson tonight. You will receive your new homework pack for the coming lessons, the coming weeks. And just so you know that when you get this pack, all of the lessons are not in it. I could only get so far ahead. So I think there's maybe five weeks worth, and then we'll get more at the end, okay? And then also a prayer request and then a need. Our dear sister Louise Shotswell, who very quietly sat in that sound booth running the screens and, you know, changing the words for us and all that, dear sweet Louise, she has cancer. And the type of cancer that she has, there isn't any treatment for her. She is trusting in the Lord and kind of doing some alternative treatments. And so she can't be here with us. And she would love for you to pray for her. In fact, she might be watching. So Louise, your sisters love you. And we'll be praying for her, and pray for her strength, for her healing. Pray for her strength, just physical strength, and her family, her caregivers that are helping her with taking care of her and her treatments. She has some really good days, and she has some very hard days. And then also pray for her finances to help her get all the supplies and things that she needs. And then because Louise can't be with us, we have a need in that ministry. So if the Lord touches one or two of your hearts to be trained on that, it is not difficult. It's just moving the mouse to the different words and things like that to get them on the screen. It really is not that difficult. So if we had one or two or even three of you who would be willing to be trained on that, you could be in a rotation. So if the Lord touches your heart, would you let Kristen know at the table when we're through? Let her know and we can get that all taken care of. And then also, thank you very much. As you know, our child care is volunteer, and you are the volunteers that serve in there. And Thank you for doing that. If you aren't on that list and would like to be a part of that ministry, also let Kristen know. So the more women we have, the less frequent you would have to serve in there. Right now it is probably maybe from January to when we end in May, you would probably serve two or three times. So, and then those schedules would also be coming out in the coming weeks, if you haven't gotten one already. So before we get into the lesson, let's lift up Louise. Lord, thank you so much for Louise and her servant's heart, and just, Lord, her heart that she's had for years and years in her ministry to those kids and puppets and singing and leading them and loving them. And then thank you, Lord, for her ministry to us. Just so quiet back in the sound booth that nobody notices, but you do. And we thank you for her, Lord. Thank you for her life. And Father, we don't understand your ways. We know that your ways are far greater and far higher, and you have wisdom and you have knowledge and you have created Louise, and you know all the ins and outs of her life. And Lord, we just pray that you would, our heart's desire is that you would touch her body in a miraculous way, that you would remove this cancer, that you would heal her completely, that the doctors would be stunned, and that everyone's jaw would drop, and that you would be glorified. Lord, that's our heart's cry. We want your good and your perfect will and how you can be glorified in her life. And Lord, give her the strength that she needs, please, Lord. Give her the energy. Give her the encouragement she needs. Minister to her husband, her kids, grandkids, friends, everyone who's surrounding her and helping her, Lord. Give them the strength. Provide for the needs that they all have, Lord. We just lift her up into those ever faithful and loving arms. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we've been in our series, The Shaping of a Christian Woman. And at the beginning, we looked at God being our master potter and we being the clay that sits directly in the center of that potter's wheel. And we started off by looking at what a Christian woman is, her role, her calling. We looked at our devotional life, the importance of that, the foundation of that, and how he works and molds our lives during that quiet time each and every day. We also looked at friendships and how to be a good friend and how he uses friendships in our lives to shape us and to mold us. We looked at the Holy Spirit, the power of the Spirit, the need we have for his power in our lives, for he is the one that shapes us. He's the one that conforms us into the image of Christ, and we need to walk in his Spirit. We looked at the gifts of the Spirit that he has, how he gives us those gifts to minister to him, to his body, and how he uses those in our lives to shape and to mold us. We looked at servanthood, now taking those gifts that he's given us and serving. We're all called to serve, and boy, does he use that area of service in our lives to just shape us and chip away the wrong motives and attitudes, and then just to mold us into his image. He was the great servant king. And then we talked about sharing our faith and taking the love of Christ out there and the gospel. And oh, he uses that in our lives when we step out like that to shape us and to transform our lives. We talked about busyness and the priorities that we need to have, that they need to be his priorities. And then lastly, we talked about spiritual warfare and how to combat that, and then how he uses that in our lives. He uses everything in our lives to refine us, to shape us, to make us into what he wants us to be. If you've missed any of those lessons, you can go online and listen to them. You can download the homework online if you don't have it, if you're interested in that. Tonight's topic, and I thought this is a good one for us to begin the year with, and that is surrender. Now, I don't know how you feel when you hear that word, surrender. We may say, oh, amen, that's right. Oh, Lord, I need to surrender to you. I love to surrender to you. And if we respond in that way, praise the Lord, I am so glad that we do. But now, let's just think about some of the different areas of our lives. Just think about your time. What that means to you. Think about your plans for the day, for tomorrow, for the future. Think about your dreams. Think about your future. Think about your marriage or the one you want to have. Think about other relationships with your mom, your dad, your sister, your brother, your son, your daughter, your niece, your coworkers. Your neighbors. Think about your job. Think about your spiritual gifts, your ministry, your area of service to the Lord. Think about your trials, hardships, those things that you're going through right now, you're battling with. Think about just the circumstances of your life. So think about those things. And then listen to this. Listen to these words. Surrender, yield, submit, relinquish, forfeit, give up, give in, willingly submit, giving up or abandoning rights to something, relinquishing possession or control of something to somebody. Now, how do you feel about those words and those descriptions? Some of us, maybe all of us, when we're thinking about those different areas, because we all have an area or two or three or four, some of us, when we hear that in light of those areas, you know, your feathers can get a little ruffled. You can stiffen up a little bit. You can resist. You have that first instinct of, don't say that. I don't want to hear that word with that word. You know, it is not natural in our fleshly selves to surrender. It just isn't. By nature, we are very rebellious people. All we like sheep have gone astray. Everyone has turned to his own way. When we are left to ourselves, we go our way, wanting to do our thing. We think we know what is best. We want control. We want control of our lives. Boy, does the world teach us that. It bombards women today to be in control of your life. We not only want control of our lives, we would like control over others. It would be much easier that way, don't you think? Especially the people in your home. If they were only just like you, things would go much better. We want control over that. And we really want control over our circumstances. Jeremiah said, "Oh Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself, and it is not in man who walks to direct his own steps." And that is so true. We don't know what is best. We think we know what is best, but we don't know what is best. And if we were in control of our lives or other people's lives or of our circumstances, it would be disaster. It really would be disaster. We think it wouldn't be. We think it would go smoothly, but it is not within us. We don't know what is best. We don't really know what we are doing. We just think we do. Now, when we came to the Lord, I mean, isn't that why we came to the Lord? We had had it with ourselves. I can't do this. I need somebody to direct me. So when we came to the Lord to first know him, we surrendered to him. We gave our lives to him. We gave up our hopes and our dreams and our plans and the control of our lives over to our God, to the one who created us, to the one who knows us, to the one who knows what is right and what is best. And we said, we want your will, not our will. And for the most part, we still do. We still want his will, not our will. But you know, if we're honest, as time goes by, and the longer we walk with the Lord, we have a tendency to begin to start taking control back in little areas of our lives. Because, you know, we've walked with the Lord for a while. We've been there, done that. We have experience. We now think we know. Or we can just get stubborn, like we used to get. And we can begin to resist his work and his shaping us in different areas because we don't like it. And again, we think we know what's best. Well, I tried it that way and it didn't seem to work, so I'm going to take the reins now and do it my way. And that's why when we hear the words surrender, submit, yield, relinquish, give up, we can stiffen. Our feathers can get ruffled, and it is because the Holy Spirit convicts. He convicts us. I mean, if we sat there and we listened to those things and we're thinking about our time and we're thinking about our plans, thinking about our marriage, we're thinking about our future, we're thinking about our job, we're thinking about all of these things, and when you put the word yield in there and relinquish and give up and, you know, give the control over and all that, and if we, you know, any bit of that, it's because the Holy Spirit is convicting our hearts and our lives in those areas, and we know it. We know we shouldn't be trying to hold on and gaining that control. Surrender is a huge area in our lives and in our walks. And the Lord, he really uses this area of surrender to shape us. You know, you picture the clay on that potter's wheel. You know, the clay as clay has no mind of its own. It is very pliable. It just sits there like a big lump of clay and lets the potter do whatever it wants to do. We have a will. We talked about it at the beginning. We have a will. And so he uses this area of surrender. Just, you know, let me mold you. Just let me squeeze there. I know what I'm doing. And he takes out the little, you know, tool and to make a little mark on the clay or the design or whatever. And he's just, and we're just, you know, resisting. And he wants us to be pliable. We don't want to be clay that's hard and that resists his work in our lives. We're going to get nowhere and we're going to be miserable if we do. We want to be soft. We want to be pliable. We want to yield. We want him to mold us into a beautiful work of art that glorifies him. I mean, don't you want that? I mean, I don't think you're going to be here tonight and say, nope, I don't want that at all. We all want that. We want that in our lives. We want him to, oh, Lord, please change me. You know, but we have to allow that. You know, surrender and trust, they really go hand in hand. I mean, so many of us have the Proverbs 3 verse is our verse, you know, the trust in the Lord verse. Because why? Because we have a little trouble trusting. And trust and surrender, I mean, how can you surrender if you don't trust? You got to trust in order to surrender. And you have to know the one to whom you're surrendering to. You got to trust the one and all of that. And, you know, everything goes in hand, but that's a whole other other topic. When I think of surrender, when I hear that word and I think about that topic, there's one example that always comes to my mind, and that is Mary. If you turn with me to Luke chapter 1, I think Mary, I mean, there's lots of examples in the Bible of those who have surrendered to the Lord, but I think Mary's, and I think because we are women, and it's just she's a great example. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, considering what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "Well, how can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." I love that verse. Now, Mary, young girl, she might have been 15, 16 years old. She obviously, by this passage, she knew the scriptures. And she knew the Lord. She had some kind of relationship with the Lord. She was chosen, she was picked, she was highly favored. And so she had this conversation with this angel. Didn't seem that she was shocked to see an angel. It just seemed that she was puzzled by his greeting toward her. And here he presents this miracle, this thing that God wants to do in her life, that she would bear the Son of God. And then her question is, well, how is this going to happen? I mean, it was like she wasn't doubting it. She just didn't know how that would work. And he told her, "The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you." And then her response, simple response, "Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. Whatever you want me to do, I will do." Now, we can look at her surrender if we just kind of read it quickly and think, well, wow, that's a privilege. Who wouldn't surrender to that? Of course you're going to surrender to that. But Mary's surrender had its costs, and she was very well aware of the cost that it would mean to her. Surrender isn't an easy road. It's a blessed road, but it's not an easy one. Surrender can be very painful. It can be very, very hard, but it's also the greatest life. It's a blessed life. Now, for Mary, for her to be found pregnant without being married, It's not like today. We're, you know, unfortunately, we don't even blink anymore. It's just so common. We just deal with it and okay. But back then, it was unacceptable. In fact, according to the law of Moses, she could be stoned to death to be found pregnant without being married. She could be stoned to death. She did not know if Joseph, her, who she was engaged to, would accept her or reject her. She had no idea. We know the end of the story. We know what God is doing, but she didn't. So she had no idea. She knew that she could be rejected by her entire family, all of her friends. She knew that she could be turned out on the street on her own. She knew that this would bring shame upon her family, upon Joseph. Her reputation would be ruined. She would be slandered. She would be gossiped against the rest of her life. You know, and the world back then was so much different than the world today because everything is just so acceptable now, and people go do their own thing. But back then, to be rejected, I mean, that is a shameful thing. Where are you going to go? What are you going to do? There was a cost. And that's just a part of the cost. I mean, can you imagine raising the Son of God? Don't we have a hard time as moms letting control of our children go as they get older? I mean, even when they're adult children, we still want to tell them what to do. I mean, can you imagine, Mary? You know, I don't know how old Jesus would have been before she would have felt so inferior. You know, when they went to dedicate him in the temple, that Simeon said that there would, a sword would pierce your heart too. Well, I'm sure many swords had already pierced her heart. And on through, I mean, this surrender of hers cost something. It hurt. It was painful. But knowing all of those things, her first heart's response was, "Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." Complete and total surrender. Whatever you want to do, Lord, I am willing. I am willing. I just want you to work in my life. I want to please you. I want you to do what you want to do in me. I am willing to do that. That was her response. Now, I love that, and I have studied and I have read and I have meditated on this for all of my Christian walk. This passage and Mary and verse 38 has my heart. It's my life verse. And it is because I have such a hard time surrendering. I am very stubborn. I want to control. I want my own way. I don't like to let go. And the Lord has used this in my life for almost 30 years now to shape me, to mold me. And, you know, if I started there and this is perfection, I think I've moved here. You know, I haven't moved very far, but there has been growth. I need to be reminded constantly, all the time, all day, every day, to surrender. To just let the Lord do what he wants to do. To just relax. To just settle into his arms and allow him to work, to move. Because in my flesh, my natural first instinct is to fight, is to resist everything that I don't like. Circumstances, relationships, trouble, I mean, all of that is just my first thing is, okay, I'm going to make it what I want it to be. And I need to be reminded. And he reminds me, and I need to be around people that remind me. I need to be influenced by those who surrender to him, by those who just say, oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And early in my walk, I'll just share a little personal thing because this is a personal verse for me. But early in my walk, I was introduced to someone who is my mentor by way of cassette tape back in the old days. And her name is Kay Smith, Pastor Chuck's wife, Kay. And I think it was probably in 1982 where I got a hold of Kay's Pleasing God teachings. Some of you have probably heard those teachings. They're classic. That her, God used her, and they're on pleasing God, not necessarily on surrender, but if we surrender, we're going to please the heart of God. So he used that, I mean, in my life tremendously, right as a brand new Christian, to listen to her. She is full of the Lord. She radiates the Lord. You just look at her and he's just coming out of her. The joy of the Lord just spills onto other people. Her passion is incredible. She just was somebody that I just, can I just stand next to you? So you rub off on me kind of a thing. I loved listening. I listened to those over and over and over and over again. And then probably that same year, I had the privilege of actually getting to meet her at my first ladies retreat. It was the first one in the church in Napa where she came to speak, you know, and you're just like a sponge, just, yes, I want to be like that, Lord. Oh, I want to be like that. And I got to sit under her teachings over the years at pastors' conferences, and then for me as a new pastor's wife and a very young pastor's wife, going to the pastor's wives' retreat with all the Calvary Chapel pastors' wives would go, and in those days there were probably, I think my first one was in 1985, and there was probably 100 of us, I think. Now there's about 800, 900 when I go. And just year after year, sitting and under that teaching and the joy of the Lord and her heart of surrender, just totally abandoned to the Lord and the love and the joy and the passion. And you're just, Lord, I want that. Lord, I want that. And at one of those early retreats, he gave me this, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your will, because I was battling. I was not letting go. I was resisting his work in my life. And he used her and he used that retreat and this verse to begin that work in my life. And she has influenced me, and I need to hear from her over and over and over and over again. Unfortunately, she's not teaching anymore. I think she's in her mid 80s at this time. But I have all the messages from previous years. Well, she also then at that time introduced me to the other woman who's been my mentor, and that's Elizabeth Elliot. And she introduced me to Elizabeth Elliot by way of book. And I got a hold of Elizabeth Elliot's books. If you have not read any of hers, grab any and all of them. She has her testimony and her story of her husband who was killed by the Indians on the mission field and that. Well, I just gobbled up Elizabeth Elliot's books. Now, Elizabeth Elliot and Kay are just entirely different people, personality types. Kay is just bubbly, very emotional, just kind of out there woman when she teaches and what she says and all of that. And Elizabeth Elliot is very reserved and she's very straightforward and she's just that, you better do it and that's that, you know, kind of a thing. And I love them both. It's a great balance in my life. And then I had the privilege, just the thrill of my life, to be able to meet Elizabeth Elliot in person when I invited her to come and speak to our women years ago. And, you know, I'm not one of those people that I don't I'm not easily impressed by people, and I don't care about movie stars, and never have, and I don't care about meeting one or, oh, who's so and so, you know, I'm, you know, my sister, my mother, they just love all that, you know, and it's like, I don't really care. You know, but put Elizabeth Elliot in front of me, it's like, okay, you know, because of her love for the Lord and all she's gone through and her passion and her just steadfastness and all of that, just what a privilege that, and the Lord used both of these women and still does to this day, because I get to listen to their messages and read the books in this area of surrender in my life. I needed what they could teach me. I needed their example, and watching them, listening to them, reading, and I still do. Now, recently, I listened to Kay Smith's Pleasing God series, and she did that, I think, in the late 70s, and so, boy, the world has gone way, From there, the examples she uses till today, oh, wow, what a difference. But they stirred my heart just like they did the first time that I listened to them. And so we got permission to duplicate them for you. And so when we dismiss tonight, we have an MP3 of Kay's Pleasing God series and then also Elizabeth Elliot's two messages, The Glad Surrender. And they're MP3s, and excuse me if you're going to be offended by this, but in case you don't know what an MP3 is, because I'm used to talking to my mother and she doesn't know about these things. You know, a CD, you just put in the CD player in your car or whatever and it plays. An MP3 is on a CD, but if you don't have an MP3 player, you can't play it, but you can put it in your computer. So if you put it in your computer, now that I may lose some of you here, you can put it on your computer, you can download it on your iPod, if you have an iPod. But it's a great way to be influenced and be saturated by these wonderful teachings throughout the day, or put it in your car or whatever. So anyway, all that to say, we do have an MP3 for you. And if you need some instruction on how to do that, some of us will be able to help you walk you through that. And I just pray that your hearts are stirred like mine was and still is when you listen to that. And these areas of that you need to surrender in, you will be able to do that easier, because when you are around people who are abandoned to the Lord, it makes you want to be too. So flip over to Romans 12:1. Just a few more things before we take communion. Romans 12:1, it tells us, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And this verse, that we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, it's a surrender verse. It's a clay in the center of that wheel, allowing the potter's hands to shape it. That's the kind of verse it is. And it is a verse that is a daily verse. This is not a yearly verse. There are really no such thing as yearly verses. But it is a daily verse. It is a verse that we are to put into practice every single day. That's surrender. Every morning that I wake up and I present my body as a living sacrifice to the Lord, every morning when I wake up, I surrender to the Lord. I give Him my day. I make my little list. I have my plans, but I place them in His hands and I surrender them to Him, so that when His divine interruptions come, I don't fight against it. I don't resist it, because I'm surrendered. It's not my will, But your will be done, Lord, in my life today. Today. What do you want for my life today? And we move on with our morning and we think this is what he wants, and then something else comes in, and then a surrendered heart says, oh, okay. And then we follow him in that area. And then something else happens, and we say, if we have a surrendered heart, oh, all right. And then we move on. That's the surrendered life. That is the Romans 12, 1, presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice. His plan, his tasks for me today. And then, not my will, but yours, Lord, for tomorrow. For all those plans that I have, my goals, my future, all of those things, Lord, I surrender to you. We don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds our future. And to surrender that to him. We can look back on 2009 and think, I can't do another year like that again. But I have to surrender that to him. We don't know what this year is going to hold. Our God is a blessing God, and it will hold plenty of blessings. He's good. But we need to surrender no matter what it may hold. So beginning this new year, I mean beginning every day, but beginnings are good. It's a new year. What is this, the 6th, I think, of January? To freshly surrender, to lay our lives down, and to surrender all of our plans, all of our troubles, to stop digging our heels, to stop resisting, and just to be soft, pliable clay in the potter's hand for him to do whatever he wants. Those areas that I'm fearful in, surrender. Those areas that I've just turned my back and I'm rebellious in, surrender. All those areas, just lay at his feet. Now, tonight we want to do this. I don't want to just get up, pray, and then get up and go our way. We want to have communion and take that time with the Lord to just to let him speak to your heart in those areas that you haven't been surrendering in, I haven't been surrendering in, and then to let him work and to commune with him, and then to freshly lay our lives down. You know that raising your hands is that universal sign of I surrender, the white flag, and raising our hand. It's such a good feeling to just raise our hands to the Lord. Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. I know what I think that I even want. I don't even know. Lord, you just do. You just do. I want to be clay in your hands. So we're not going to pass it out. So what we're going to do, the worship team can come forward. And they're just going to play probably 3 songs, I think. So during that time, would you just get up and you come down. I'll remove all the lids and all that. And you can come down, grab that cup and that bread and take it back to your seat. You can go wherever you want to have privacy or go back to your seat and just to commune with the Lord and freshly lay your life down. Elizabeth Elliot says, all of me for you forever, Lord. All of me for you forever. And that's what we want to do tonight. And Lord, we thank you that you even let us surrender to you, that you would even take us in, Lord. Thank you that you've called us to be your children, and thank you that for the privilege of being that clay right in the center of your wheel, of your will. And we want to be soft and pliable, and I pray, Lord, for my life and for my sisters, every single one of them, if there's any hardness, that you would, by your Holy Spirit, would pour that oil on and soften those areas. And if there's any fear, that you would remove that fear, any any resistance at all, Lord, that you would work in our lives, that we truly would lay our lives down as a living sacrifice. We would truly, as Mary, say to you, "Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word, all of me for you forever, Lord." Work in our lives. We love you and we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.